You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon on assignment in Los Angeles for the Western Conference Finals.
I'm Frank Isola on assignment in your studio. Alone.
Oh, yeah.
Where's everybody?
I thought I recognized that place, Frank. I'd seen that place, you know, a time or two or 10 years. I've seen it before.
There's tumbleweed in the studio. That's how long you haven't been here. Cobwebs. I'm cleaning out the cobwebs.
That's a great line.
But the Emmy Awards are still here.
Goodness. As long as those Emmys are still there, we ain't getting a new one, not for a bit. Welcome to PTI. Tony's busy repairing his divots, so I'm pleased to be joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
He's still clapping, though.
What are you doing there? You should be out here where the action is. We're going to start with the Clippers. Getting on the board in the Western Conference Finals, Paul George had 27-15-8 as the Clips beat the Suns in Game 3 last night at Staples. Patrick Beverley played a strong defensive game on broken-nosed Devin Booker and a perhaps rusty Chris Paul. Frank, does the Clippers win make you see this series differently?
Yeah, if they could win game four, I'll feel a lot differently. I give Paul George a lot of credit because he didn't shoot well, but he still made an impact on the game. But we know this came down to Chris Paul and Devin Booker shooting a combined 10 for 40. If you tell me they're going to do it the next game, then things are really going to get interesting. But give Ty Lue a lot of credit. Made in-series adjustments, put a smaller, quicker team out on the court. They did a really good job defensively. And who knows? Your guy Chris Paul was out a long time. Maybe that'll impact him. Devin Booker, you can tell. I give him credit. He did not use the broken nose as an excuse. But there are times during the game, Michael, he's moving the mask while play is going on. So it affected him in game three. We'll see if it affects him in game four.
Frank, I completely agree with all that analysis. Chris Paul, we figured, was going to be rusty. Jeff Van Gundy said it. He called it to the T. He said early on, he said, Chris Paul's going to be Chris Paul later in the series, but not probably tonight, meaning last night. 100% aced that piece of analysis. And Booker, you know, it's interesting because Richard Hamilton told him, you can't take this thing off on the bench. You got to use it well. He had one game to get used to, and now he's going to practice today with it on, and he'll go through warm-ups and be, you know, more accustomed to wearing it tomorrow. But listen, T. Lou, a guy who may be the most underrated coach in professional basketball, he can get these teams ready, can he not? And you talk about making adjustments. People have, of course, gone overboard now and start comparing him to Bill Parcells. I don't know if you want to, I'm not Bill Parcells, I'm sorry, to the other hoodied coach in New England. And so they're comparing him to Bill
Belichick.
People can go crazy, but T. Lou knows how to get a team ready. Frank, the Clippers are tough.
Yep.
They are tough physically and tough-minded. And Paul George put those two missed free throws behind him, at least for that one game. And he played a really, really, really good game last night. Yes, I think it's a different series. Remember, the Clippers should probably, based on the way Game 2 played out, be up 2-1 in this series. And Game 1 was a two-point game before Booker slipped free on an inbounds pass and got a dunk at the end of that game. So, I mean, the Clippers have been right there for this entire series so far.
Yeah, that's, to me, what was so impressive. You had that devastating loss in Game 2 where all Paul George, just make one free throw, and maybe you have a chance. So he misses both free throws. And then the way that they defended that play, the Valley Oop, as they call it, and we all saw your reaction to it, that is a crushing, crushing loss. But they've been a resilient group. They were down 0-2 to Dallas. They were down 0-2 in the second round of Utah. They find a way to get it done. But to do it without Kawhi Leonard is not going to be easy. If they could somehow, some way, get three more wins in this series, that is going to be as impressive as a run as you can get for a team that doesn't have its best player. Michael, they showed him on TV last night. He's sitting up in a luxury suite. They need him in uniform, and as you know, they're probably not going to get him.
No, I doubt seriously they get him. Doesn't seem to be in the cards. And by the way, that is ultimately what would change the narrative on Paul George.
Yeah.
That is it. If you play without your best player and Paul George becomes your best player and helps rally that team, and they got to the finals. That I don't care what you did with missed free throws. That changes it if you could somehow advance. A long way from that. But this series is just night after night. It becomes compelling new and additional reason.
Yeah, that's why you needed the Clippers to win last night. By the way, with Beverly guarding him, you have Devin Booker's 4-for-15. In the last two games, 10-for-35. I think Chris Paul, Devin Booker will shoot better. But if this continues, you know what? Maybe the Clippers actually have a chance. All right, we have an intergenerational bad blood in the NBA. How about this? Scottie Pippen told GQ that Kevin Durant didn't know how to play team basketball in the Nets series loss to the Bucks. He added that LeBron would have found a way to win. Durant, of course, responded on Twitter saying, "Didn't the great Scottie Pippen refuse to go in a game for a last-second shot because he was in his feelings when his coach drew up a play for a better shooter?" All right, Michael, who are you backing in this beef?
Neither. I'm not getting drawn into this, Frank. One, I'm too old. Two, I know Kevin Durant a little bit. Kevin, of course, is a star civically in my adopted hometown of Greater Washington, D.C., the DMV. Scottie Pippen I have known longer and better. And he's the most, to me, the most underrated player in basketball in my lifetime and maybe forever, Scottie Pippen. So I'm not getting into this. In some ways, and, you know, I was around Kevin some when he was younger, and he and Scottie reminded me of each other in that they were both really shy and sort of grew out of that shell. We can see, we know Scottie has for a long time. Yep. Kevin gets into these social media things
all
that I don't
time.
Really understand all the time. And I like and enjoy both of them. I've worked with Scottie. I'm still going to work with Scottie. If Scottie had said these things in this building, in this studio, which is where I wish he had said these things, they come off differently than if you do it to a magazine writer and then Kevin to social media. I'm not going to be drawn into this. I don't care enough about it. There are too many important things. But let me just say that I thought Scottie made a basketball observation and critique, right? He was saying he would take LeBron for the following reason. And I get that. And then Kevin took exception to it and came back with something more personal. I didn't really see the need for that. But I'm not getting into their beef. I don't care about their beef. They're both all time. Didn't Scottie win, six championships Scottie got?
Yeah, just check. I'm definitely here for all of this. But I want to say this about Pippen. We all know that in 1994, he made a huge mistake. It was selfish.
Yes.
You quit on your team. That does not mean that when he makes some type of analysis or criticism that it's invalid. And I think Kevin Durant gets very sensitive about this stuff. Now, I was at Game 5 and Game 7 in Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant was off the charts great. In Game 5, he got help from Jeff Green. Jeff Green scored 27 points. In Game 7, he was this close, one inch away from hitting one of the greatest shots to ever end the series.
Maybe the greatest shot ever. Yeah.
But to say, you know, that he wasn't, you know, getting help from his teammates, it wasn't like he wasn't trying to get guys involved. Joe Harris at 111 all, under a minute to go in overtime,
wide open.
Missed a wide open three, Michael. That would have been a huge shot that could have changed everything. Now, Kevin Durant was 0-for-6 in overtime, and you want to say that should Steve Nash have called a timeout before that final play, get Kevin Durant some rest? Perhaps. But that guy was playing with his second best player, James Harden, on one leg.
One leg.
I can't kill Kevin Durant. Listen, to me, what Scottie Pippen is saying is fair. I just don't agree with it.
Listen. Kevin Durant and James Harden, but particularly Kevin Durant, in games 5 and 7, he brought honor to basketball.
Yes.
Honor. He played every second of these games. It's insane how great Kevin Durant, coming off an injury which no one has returned 100% from except apparently him, Kevin Durant brought honor to the game of basketball. That's why I'm not getting in this. Scottie Pippen, one of the great champions of all time. All these guys who take shots at Scottie Pippen, are they going to retire with 6?
No.
They're not going to retire with 6. So I'm always going to stand for Scottie when it comes to that. But you know what? They're both great, and I'm not getting into this. I'm not.
You know what, though? The Bourbon Company, they're really happy that this story appeared in GQ. It was topical. Give them credit for this, because that series just ended on Saturday, and Scottie Pippen was weighing in, and everyone's paying attention to it. So the Bourbon Company wins. Yep.
I should have gone to that party a couple of nights ago. It was in Chicago, Frank, but that's another story. We had another no-hitter in baseball last night. This time it was Zach Davies and 3 Cubs relievers combining to blank the Dodgers down the street right here. They also combined to issue 8 walks. And the relievers say they didn't even know the Dodgers were hitless while they were pitching. Frank, do you put this no-no in the same category with the 6 others from this season? 7, if you, like I, count Madison Bumgarner.
Now, no, I don't, but they really didn't know.
They didn't know. I'm going to tell you in a second. Yet. I'm going to tell you how I know.
I've been in Dodger Stadium a million times. That huge scoreboard. They can't see that from anywhere where they're sitting.
No, not from the bullpen.
They don't know that there's not. And no one brought it up in the bullpen at all. Do you know that we haven't given up a hit yet? All right. So I'll go along with it because I like that part of the story. But I remember the Yankees getting no hit. I thought it was by three Houston Astro pitchers. It was by six of them. This is already 18 years ago. Billy Wagner was part of it. To me, it's like that's just relievers coming in with their best stuff. It's pretty cool that for the Chicago Cubs, it's the first time in franchise history. I'm not putting it up there with one pitcher pitching nine innings and getting a no-hitter. It's just, yes, it counts as a no-hitter. It's not the same. You know that.
Managers, meaning GMs, don't even let guys stay in the game for seven innings. Somebody got pulled for a game after 6 2/3. So you can't. How can you go nine when the people in charge of your career and your life won't even let you stay out there? But let me tell you this. Here's why I'm going with the Cubs pitchers and that they didn't know. I'm in Staples Center. But I got this phone in my hand, and I'm looking for the partial score of Cubs-Dodgers because that's what I do. I see 4-0, and I look at maybe a little recap, and there's nothing in there about a no-hitter, Frank. It's not in there. I follow the Cubs. Hell, I've seen half the other no-hitters probably in the Cubs history. I don't mean in the ballpark. I mean on television live. I didn't know they had a no-hitter. It's my team.
Mike,
I didn't know.
You're not
know.
In I'm the bullpen. There's a bullpen coach. There's a bullpen catcher. You don't think that they don't know that? I like the story.
No.
I'll go along with it. By the way, you had Nick Pivetta last night for the Red Sox, 6 2/3. He's taken out.
It took him out.
Without giving up a hit. They end up losing the game on what should have been the third out of the ninth inning on a wild pitch that gets away, and they lose to Tampa 1-0. Whoever thought we'd see a 1-0 score in baseball?
How about the University of Virginia in the College World Series? A kid has a no-hitter, I think, 8 1/3, Oahu.
Yep.
8 1/3, but he winds up giving up a couple of long balls, and they lose the game.
It happens.
So, yeah, I mean, this no-hitters everywhere.
They knew there was a no-hitter.
I'm with the Cubbies.
We've been to Dodger
Congratulations.
Stadium. That's that. They knew there was no hits. Believe me.
We're taking a break. I can't hear this from Frank. Coming up, will the Bucks even things with the Hawks tonight in Game 2?
And we got a Game 7. Will it be the Islanders or the Lightning meeting the Canadiens in the Stanley Cup Final? Toss up. That's next. You don't
think
they
knew? I think they didn't know. No. Relievers aren't even paying attention. Relief pitchers aren't paying attention, Frank.
They're going up ahead.
They're out there getting their goop together.
They're paying attention.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for the game that we let Tony pretend to win. Toss up. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Toss up. Who you got in tonight's game two, the Hawks or the Bucks?
This is hard for me, Frank. I picked the Bucks to win this series at the beginning. But, you know, they're just so tough to figure out, and I don't like the way they play. And they just sort of stupidly throw up threes, even though they do something superior, different than shoot threes. And they just pay no attention. Now, let's go back to doing that, even though that's not what we do. So, you know what? I guess I'm going to say Milwaukee will win tonight because they have to. But Milwaukee, Atlanta can win this series. And
I think so
you
too.
Believe that too,
yep.
Right? Atlanta's underrated, undervalued. They entertain. They are fabulous to watch. Trae Young, I have done a 180, the biggest 180 of my life in covering basketball on Trae Young. But I'm going to take Milwaukee to win tonight's game, though not the series.
Yeah. I think Atlanta has more talent. I mean, they bring Lou Williams and Danilo Gallinari off the bench. The Bucks don't have those kind of players. Now, Chris Middleton was 6 for 23, 0 for 9 in game one. And I think if you look at Milwaukee over the past couple of years, Michael, they always play poorly in game one. They even did it against Miami this year. They were kind of lucky to win that. They ended up sweeping that series. So they have a history of not performing well in a series opener. That's not an excuse, but I do think they'll play better, and they got to grab rebounds. Those final 4 minutes of the game, they gave up too many offensive rebounds.
Rebound.
It was incredible.
Yes.
That was
gotta
the killer.
Got to win tonight. They have to win this game tonight, or it's going to be bye-bye, and that Deer Valley can just go away until
fear the deer.
You're the cheesehead season. What's next?
Toss-up game seven is tonight. Who would you rather see face the Canadiens for the Stanley Cup, the Islanders or the Lightning?
You know, I'm an Original Six guy. If I can't get Original Six, give me that early wave of expansion that included the Islanders, Frank. And, I mean, you think of those teams with Bossy and Trottier and Gillies and Potvin and Billy Smith swinging his stick and hitting people in the crease. I mean, there's real NHL championship history there with those Islander teams that won, what, four in a row? I'm sorry. I don't care about hockey in Florida. As far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't even be hockey in Florida. So I am rooting hard for the Islanders.
Tampa Bay is the better team. We don't know if Kucherov is going to play after he took that cross check in the back.
Big loss if he can't play.
The last time Barry Trotz coached a team in a Game 7 in Tampa was the Capitals in 2018. He ended up winning that game, went on to win the Stanley Cup. For the Islanders to win and play the Canadiens, when they went on that great run that you talked about, the four Stanley Cup championships, before that, they never could beat the Canadiens. That was the one team they never could beat. And, of course, this is their last season at the Nassau Coliseum. What a way to cap it off, to get the Canadiens in their building and to beat them,
and to take
to
them
lift
out
the cup one final time before they move over to Belmont Racetrack. And good luck getting to those games, because across Island Parkway, any day of the week is terrible. But what are you going to
do? It's a great story. The Canadiens not having done this since, what, 92 or 93? It's been so for long for two franchises with such great history.
That's
Montreal
right.
more of it than the Islanders, but that's the matchup. That's it. Let's take one last break. We're coming up. How do we explain the tear that Kyle Schwarber is on right now?
Pretty good. And are the Mavs making the right head coaching hire in Jason Kidd? Jason's back. I think that was a movie.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 55th birthday to Kimbe Mutombo. Hall of Famer, 8-time NBA All-Star, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year. Dikembe was born in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and enrolled at Georgetown at the age of 21 with intentions of becoming a doctor. John Thompson recruited him to play basketball, and 3 years later, the Denver Nuggets took him with the 4th pick overall in the draft. He was at the center of an indelible scene when the 8th-seeded Nuggets upset the top-seeded Sonics in the first round of the 94 playoffs. But visually, he's most famous, as we all know, for his finger-wagging first at foes, later toward the crowds, and ultimately in commercials.
The global ambassador to the NBA. When I saw him at Patrick Ewing's first game at Georgetown, he came up to me and he said, "I knew you'd be here to see your boy." Michael, can you believe it's been 20 years since he was taking all those elbows to the face from Shaquille O'Neal in the NBA Finals?
No.
He stood his ground. He was a tough guy. I love
him. And a great guy. And helped build a hospital in his homeland. One of my favorite people ever in all of sports. Happy anniversary to another Hall of Famer, Tim Duncan. On this day 24 years ago, the Spurs selected you with the first pick of the NBA draft. What a pick that turned out to be. The Spurs had been 20-62 the year before, but with Duncan and a recuperated David Robinson leading the way after back surgery, San Antonio immediately went 56-26. 1 year later, also on this day, Duncan led the team to his first of five NBA titles, including beating the Knicks, Frank. Over his 19 seasons, Duncan was a three-time NBA Finals MVP, two-time league MVP, and 15-time All-Star. He recently spent a season as an assistant for the Spurs, even serving as acting head coach in one game, but resigned after last season. Yeah.
You and I were at that game when he won his first title. Avery Johnson, yes. Remember, hit a big shot in that game.
Out of the corner.
When Tim Duncan grew up in St. Croix, because it was so windy on the outdoor court, that's why he learned to bank it in. It was easier than trying to shoot. That's why he learned that bank shot.
Best thing of all about Duncan, he is a devoted Bears fan. True story.
So he's miserable like you.
Well, just a little bit of the time. Whenever we talk about quarterback, happy trails to the head coach opening for the Dallas Mavericks. The team has reportedly hired Jason Kidd to replace Rick Carlisle, who resigned and now coaches the Pacers. Kidd had two stints in Dallas as a player, including as a member of the 2011 championship team. And this will be his third head coaching gig, previously leading the Nets and Bucks to a record of 183-190. He joins a franchise that's gone through a recent power struggle, needs to shore up its relationship with star Luka Doncic, and it's just years removed from a front office mess involving sexual harassment, domestic assault, and misconduct. And it's noted because Kidd pleaded guilty in 2001 himself to spousal abuse.
Yeah, two quick things. The Portland job, which Jason Kidd initially was up for, it looks like it's going to be either Chauncey Billups or Mike D'Antoni. Now, he didn't get that Portland job. I think Dallas is a good place for him. But like you mentioned, Jason Kidd's history, Cynthia Marshall, the CEO, there's no way that this hire is happening if
she doesn't sign off on it.
And as you with Dirk there, Michael Finley, it's like they're bringing the old gang back.
Bringing the old gang back and being very careful about these new choices. You mentioned CEO Cynthia Marshall. Jason Kidd, Luka Doncic, that has magic in it from a basketball perspective. We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Defending champ Simona Halep withdrew from Wimbledon with a calf injury. Your thoughts?
This is a great chance for Serena. No Osaka, no Halep. Maybe she could win this one. Round two of the Women's PGA Championship today. What did you notice?
This makes a difference to me and a lot of people. Michelle Wee West made the cut in a major, her first since 2018. Welcome back, Michelle. Look, the tour is so much better off with Michelle playing. Yep. The Astros have won 11 straight. You impressed?
I am. They've won 20 of 24. They're up two games on the A's in the AL West. And what does it also say? Everyone wants to kill the Astros, rightfully so, about cheating, but they have some really good players, field players, pitchers. It's a pretty good team. Kyle Schwarber of the Nationals has 8 home runs over his last 5 games. Is that a big deal?
Huge. I called Tony last night. He's weeping at the leadoff home runs and the change in the lineup, blah, 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 blah. They took my cup, my neighbor, away in Chicago. I love Schwarber. Last one, the Diamondbacks and Orioles both try to end their road losing streaks tonight. 23 for the D-backs, 20 for the Orioles. Either going to do this, Frank.
And the last time both of them won, it was on a no-hitter. It's hard to believe. I think the Orioles will get it done in Buffalo. That's where
in Buffalo.
We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We are off until Tuesday, July 6th, you knuckleheads.
More time.
But you can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your Sports Center.
Schwarber moved because you never were home, just like you're never here. That's why he left.
He left the building.
But you were
literally
never there.
PTI.